The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you.
Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Every first Sunday of Lent, we always hear the story of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. And the version that we have this year C, is from the Gospel of Luke. This story is really the proximate foundation of the Lenten season, as it recalls the stay of Jesus in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, which is what Lent is all about. But how do we understand this story? We can understand this story by making a reference and putting it in the context of the immediate story before this. Okay, so if you remember, what is the story prior to Jesus going to the desert? I asked this at the 7:30 Mass, and I told them when they were silent, I know it's early, but I can say that to you guys. It's a little late already of the day. What is the story prior, or the immediate story before this? It was the baptism of Jesus. The baptism of Jesus was the immediate story before this. And in that baptism of Jesus, we heard the affirmation and the confirmation of the identity of Jesus. "You are my beloved Son. Listen to him. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." I want you to really remember that as Jesus enters into the wilderness and as he said no to the temptations presented before him. Why? He was able to say no to these temptations because he understood who he is as the beloved Son of the Father. If I am the beloved Son of the Father, I have to be true to who I am. I cannot say yes to this because they are not in conformity to my identity as the beloved Son of the Father. I cannot say yes to this Inasmuch as they are so tempting, inasmuch as I am hungry, as what we were told, I cannot say to this because I have a real understanding of my core, of my essence, of my being. And this is something that is very important for us. But I remember I was sharing this in the two previous masses. This just reminds me of a friend of mine who, before he retired, he traveled extensively as part of his work. He traveled overseas a lot. And one thing that he always tells me whenever we go for the dinner or coffee, and then I ask, how is work? He said, oh, I can't wait to retire because there's just so many temptations when I'm away from home. And I said, what kind of temptation? Oh, just so many things. Then I said, then I asked, how do you deal with it? He said, the first thing that has helped me tremendously is that I always make sure that I don't take off my wedding ring. You know, whenever I'm tempted to do something stupid, I just grab my finger and just remind me when I touch my wedding ring of who I am, that I married, and the face of my wife just flashes to my mind, and just that's enough for me to actually be faithful to my call. He understands his identity. That's why even though he was besought with a lot of temptations, he was able to say no. But one thing also that was striking when what he told me was, he said, one of the things that he did before he boards the plane is to check what's the nearest Catholic church to his hotel. And you know, since it's a lot of transactions, he said sometimes you can be uncharitable. Sometimes you just want to really get the biggest bang for your buck for his company, even at the expense of the good of other people. And he told me that, you know, going to Mass in the beginning of my day, it's just, he said, 30 minutes or 25 minutes, depending on where he is during the week, he said, it just gives me the right attitude in going and entering into these important transactions. It reminds me of who I am fundamentally as a child of God and as a brother to the people that I am going to meet that day. You see how important, you know, how important understanding of who we are and the core of our being in face of temptations. Because from our understanding of who we are, that's the way we will gonna act as well. One of the things that also is striking for me is that, especially connecting it with baptism, is before Jesus was confronted by the devil with these temptations, he was already proclaimed and pronounced and affirmed by the Father, you are my beloved Son. And what does this tells us? What does this tells you and I? That my sonship and my daughtership does not depend on whether I say yes or no to temptations in front of me. Now, don't get too advanced. Because you say, if that is the case, Father, then, you know, should I... It doesn't matter then if I choose the right or wrong. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is this. Saying yes or no to temptations does not rob us of our fundamental identity as children of God, but it deprives us of the joy and the fullness of life depending on what we choose. if I decide not to, or if I decide, for example, hopefully this does not happen, to be strange from my family, I would still be a son to my mother. That's not going to change. But if I decide to be strange from them, I'm depriving myself of the joy of being part of their lives. If I decide to be separated from them, I deprive myself of being part of the family and to experience the happiness and seeing my nieces and my nephews. There's going to be something lacking. But it does not change that I am still a son to my parents and a brother to my brothers and to my siblings. If that is the case, then what does the temptations, you know, do to us? It makes us realize where we are at the particular point of our lives. It helps us understand where we are in our relationship with God. It's not just about saying yes or no, but it's about asking ourselves, if I'm struggling, for example, with lust, and I'm married, it's not just about, okay, what are the things that I need to do so that I don't get tempted by lust? It's not just about saying yes or no to it, but asking ourselves, what's happening in my heart? What's happening with my marriage? Why am I seeking intimacy outside my married life? What's happening with my prayer? With my prayer life? If I have a friend who is struggling with pornography, and what he told me is like, hey, Kerry, you know, I think you can recommend this to your confessees. And I said, what? Oh, this is really a great program that it blocks whatever you want to see in the internet. Then I said, good for you, but that is just the beginning. You know why? Because it's only going to last for some time. If you don't go to the very root of what's going on with you and with your marriage, you will just going to disable it at one point. Because we need to understand what's going on within. If I'm struggling with gluttony, for example, it is not just about not buying food and putting food in my fridge that I don't need, but it is about, why am I having this desire, this craving? Am I compensating this for something that is lacking in my life? I need to confront the reality of myself. I cannot just be covering it with something temporary when the root cause is still so much alive and bursting underneath. What is really interesting about the temptations of Jesus in the desert is that Jesus never said, I can't do it. When he was tempted, can you turn this stone into bread? He did not say, no, I can't. He's God. He could do it. When he was tempted, you know, just kneel before me and I'm going to give you all of this. He didn't say, I can't do it. Of course he can do it. Because he has the freedom to make that decision. When he was tempted to jump from the parapet in the middle, in the highest point of the temple, he did not say, I cannot jump, because he could jump and the angels were going to rescue him. But this is the thing. Even though he has the capacity to do it, he chose to do the right thing. It doesn't mean that when we have the capacity to do, that we need to do it all the time. Of course he can change stone into bread. He's God. He made the lame walk. He made the blind see. Of course he can do that. But it doesn't mean if we can't do things that we have. The question that we need to ask whenever we are faced with temptation is this. If I do this, will I gonna be true to who I am? If I go this route, will I gonna love God all the more and my neighbor and myself in the most authentic way? If I choose to engage with this, will this glorify God? Will this glorify God in the end? The temptations that Jesus faced are same temptations that we face in one form or another. Temptations for material things, the first one, changing the stone to bread. The second one was the temptations to power, control. One struggles in one form of that, not necessarily to be the prime minister or the president of a country, not that, but we always want to have that sense of control in our household, in our own relationships, and all of that, excessive control. Also, the third one is when Jesus was asked, you jump there, and the angels will gonna rescue you. You know what kind of temptation is that? The parapet of the Temple of Jerusalem is one of the most crowded places. So when he jumps, people will kind of like, oh, he's a superhero. It's amazing. He can do this. People were going to be applauding. People were going to be so, we're going to follow him because it's like, wow, we have Superman here. The temptation for adulation and all of those things. Just like Jesus, we have the capacity to say yes. But the question is, are you going to say yes knowing who you are as a child of God, as a daughter of God? I said in my previous homily this morning that, I have a priest friend of mine who I asked for consultations on some things. And early on, he would always ask me a question whenever I'm consulting him. He said, okay, Carrie, what will Jesus do? And I was just like, honestly, that question doesn't help me. Just to be very honest with you, that doesn't help me. Because I know, Jesus will always do the right thing, but I'm not Jesus, so that's why I'm struggling. But the question that has helped me tremendously is this question. What will you do as someone who knows Jesus? What will you do as someone who knows Jesus? If I'm faced with something difficult and there's a temptation right in front of me, what will I do as someone who knows Jesus and as someone who knows who I am as a child of God? Just like Jesus, we have the capacity to do it. There's no doubt. But will you, knowing who you are?